The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, it is time now for another edition of the Hard Shoulder Bookshelf, and I'm delighted to say that Fíochna Obrannán is with me, of course, a founding member of the Hothouse Flowers, broadcaster, musician. You might see him on tour with our very own Tom Dunn these days. Fíochna, it's great to see you.
It's lovely to see you, Kieran.
Yeah, thanks a million for coming into us. So listen, great books in the Hard Shoulder Bookshelf tour. The Story of German Football was George Hamilton's pick last week. A great book. So what book are you placing up on the bookshelf?
Well, I mean, there's a bunch of them. I mean, I have historically been quite a lazy reader. You know, I remember heading off on tour about 30 years ago with the great Michelle Schacht, determined to start my reading again. And I took with me James Joyce's Ulysses.
Oh, gosh. Have you finished it yet?
I finished it on the tour, but I was only able to do that by virtue of the fact that I was on a tour bus traveling for, you know, several weeks on end through America, through middle America, long highways and so on. And then I kind of fell off the wagon again. But I've recently discovered that you can actually walk your dog and listen to audiobooks at the same time.
Well, that's funny you mention that, because Richard Boyd Barrett is a great Joycean scholar.
Yes.
And he told me, listen to it. He said, don't read. He says, he loves reading it, but he acknowledges the reality that for a lot of people, it's inaccessible, it's too big, too dense, too hard to work through. He said, listen to it. And it's incredible
I've got to get back to that.
Well, yeah.
Thank you, Richard.
Yeah.
But the book that has really stood out quite recently for me that I've finished reading, and again, I listened to it, narrated by Gerry O'Brien. It's Paul Lynch's The Prophet Song, which was our 2023 Book Prize winner. And, you know, an extraordinary undertaking. Apparently, I was reading that he was kind of 6 months into writing another book, and he describes it as drilling into granite. He wasn't getting anywhere, and he just put that book away and then sat down at his laptop and opened up a new document and basically tapped out what ended up being the first page of what became the Prophet Song. And the Prophet Song, we talked about Ulysses, actually, it structurally, there is a sort of a stream of consciousness kind of system going on in it. But listening to it, it's kind of remarkable. It's this sort of portrayal of a dystopian Ireland. You know, I think this is before Ukraine and before Gaza, and he was kind of, I think, inspired is the wrong word, but I think taking his lead from what was going on in Syria and in Yemen and in the world, and looking at tyranny and looking at what would life be like here in Ireland if we were under authoritarian rule. And so that's the setting for this book. And it's really quite gripping, because you're reading through these very everyday, very relatable things. The tired mother of one of the early protagonists, Larry, is kind of looking at the window. She's got one kid in her arms, another kid screaming downstairs. She's got to go do the shopping. She's wrecked. She's exhausted. She's looking at the window as if to take a breath that will restore her energy. And so, it's just from beginning to end, it's quite gripping. I saw somebody describe it as a kind of a one long panic attack. You know, but it looks at democracy and it looks at, and I guess it looks at what's going on in the world, and it really touched me from that point of view as well, because goodness me, I mean, we're as I'm sure we're all looking at democracy at the moment going, what's going on?
The narrator often makes a huge difference as well, doesn't it, to those books?
It does.
A good narrator.
Yeah, I mean, and in the case of Paul Lynch's Prophet Song, Gerry O'Brien is the narrator, which is, it's amazing. I mean, the narrator of Joseph O'Connor, I'm hugely taken with Joseph O'Connor. Since Star of the Sea and even beforehand. And the narration of another of my choices, Shadow Play, is really remarkable. It's Barry McGovern, great actor.
Oh, yes.
It's like listening to a film or a play. You know, it adds such depth to the words, how they're kind of transmitted to you, you know.
What is Shadow Play about? Remind me.
Shadow Play is a novel that evolved from a radio play, actually, called Vampire's Man, about the kind of the real life. You'll find Joseph O'Connor often taking his cue from real life characters and real life situations. And in this situation is the relationship between Bram Stoker and two of the bright lights of Victorian theatre. Henry Irving is a kind of an actor. He's known as the Chief in the book. He's a kind of a volcanic leading man, impresario. He owns the Lyceum Theatre. And then Ellen Terry is, you know, the most lauded and most beautiful actress of her generation. And then Bram Stoker, who was a clerk in Dublin, who, you know, wasn't getting anywhere, took his wife and his kid to London and ended up being the manager of the Lyceum Theatre, all the while trying to introduce his work of art, his book, his scribblings from diaries, and presenting them to Irving and presenting them to Helen Terry, and all of this falling on deaf ears. And it traces that whole journey right up until his death. And then you realise after his death that the book that he was working on all of that time was Dracula.
Yeah.
You know.
Which in itself is an amazing... I loved that book.
Yes.
Dracula.
Yeah.
And some books, I guess... Some books date, and that's kind of natural. And particularly maybe books of that genre, they date, and they're less impactful now maybe to an audience than they might have been at the time. And I don't think that's the case with Dracula at all. I think it is brilliant. Well, it is so unnerving.
Dracula, I have not read.
You should read it. Yeah, it is a really great book. So is it always fiction? Is that what you're always drawn to?
It's not always fiction, no. In fact, I've read a couple of biographies lately, autobiographies. I mean, I've actually just finished... Bono's Surrender.
Well, what did you think? Did you listen to it?
I did listen to it.
Yes.
I found it brilliant.
Yeah.
Fascinating. And you know, I've had had question marks about where is Bono these days, you know? And in reading that book, you know, the work that he did behind the scenes throughout the years, particularly, you know, taking on the White House and taking on the occupants of the White House in America and getting funding for Africa, for his AIDS campaign, for DATA, for ONE, for all of that, would lead me to hope and pray that he is working away quietly at the moment in terms of what's going on in the world now, because there's no way, I can't believe for one minute that there's no way that that's not affecting him.
But we haven't seen how it's affecting him in public,
no,
I guess.
We haven't.
There's been nothing said.
I think that's kind of screaming quite loudly
at
the moment. But the book is amazing.
Yeah.
The book is amazing. The journey, the writing, his own writing is so captivating.
Yeah.
You know, his love for Ali, his spirituality, his love for his band members, his honesty as well, I think, in the ups and downs of what can happen. Being in U2. So I loved it.
I found it now, I have to say, for a fella I would have always thought has great regard for himself, and on some level he does, and there'll be people listening who say, well, listen, he's entitled to. I found it kind of, he can still be self-deprecating, and even things like his spirituality, you know what I mean? He's kind of self-deprecating by proxy. You know, he talks about how his dad was kind of like, oh, you're not still on about that again,
yes,
kind of on the deathbed,
which
was kind of a lovely little insight.
Yes. There's one more that we should talk about. Emma Dabbery, who's an
Nigerian-Irish.
Yeah, it was remarkable insights. I started off reading Don't Touch My Hair, but then What White People Can Do Next is one of her more recent ones, where she, you know, she draws on years of her own personal experience to talk. I guess it was inspired in some ways or triggered in some ways by the Black Lives Matter movement.
Yeah.
And she just, it's a manifesto to help us impact more change and to, you know, reframe our thoughts on racial injustice and allyship. She, you know, growing up here, Africa, she saw was often seen through the lens of the Catholic Church. So you've got the missions and all that kind of, you know, let's look after the poor Africans, you know, and she kind of challenges that as a construct and as a way of thinking. And so her manifesto is, she subtitles the book actually, From Allyship to Coalition. And she believes, and I agree with her, that radical change is required. Racism is only 500 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Capitalism is only, not even as old as that. And those two things, she outlines lays out her belief that we need to radically look at both of those constructs created by white men that need to be revisited and reimagined.
Great, varied recommendations this week. What White People Can Do Next by Emma Dabbery. Prophet Song by Paul Lynch, which have recently finished. Shadow Play by Joseph O'Connor. I think that's what's going on the shelf officially, is it?
I think so.
Okay, that's officially. But listen, great recommendations. Fegan, it's been a real pleasure.
Likewise, Kieran.
Yeah, thanks a million for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.